Good morning. I always wonder what, I'm always amazed when somebody's heard me speak and asked me to come back again. Glad to be here this morning. Just, I feel the warmth in the church in more ways than one. I was in Sunday school this morning and seeing most of the chairs full, people sitting shoulder to shoulder, just blesses my heart to see that people on a cold, feels like January day, but it's February, come together and want to worship the Lord and learn about missions. I know some of those people back there. Just to share a little bit about myself, I come from Austin, Manitoba. I was born in 1973. My second birth was in 1993. I married Joanne Unruh from Rosenfeld, Manitoba. That's the fine young lady up there. In 1995, and in 2000, I quit my job and started farming. 2002, Joanne saw Revolution World Missions. And that's, I shared this morning, I don't know what happened to her, that she decided to pick up Revolution World Missions. It's a book that wrecked my plans. And so that's how long we've been with Gospel for Asia. We started sponsoring missionaries right away, and she was... basically, I started sponsoring because that's what she wanted. And so, women, you know how influential you can be on men. So we have, since then, we had Joanne learn that Gospel for Asia and Stony Creek needed some volunteers. And she encouraged me to sell the farm and move to Stony Creek, and then she could volunteer there. I would farm out there. And that wasn't the Lord's will, I felt. And so when Susan Whitman, which some of you may know, she came to, she went over there 10 years ago now and asked if we would support her. And it was absolutely anything so that I can keep farming, pursuing my own dreams. We have 2004 was next big highlight. Many of you heard and prayed for us back then when our oldest son passed away at 6 years old. He's not on the picture there, but Jenna was born. So we have Jenna, which is in front of me there. She's 9 currently. Evan is 6. We have a 6-year-old son again. Caleb is 4. He's born with the same birthday as our oldest son, 10 years later. And Carol Lee is our youngest. She's 2 years old. This is my little prayer group back home. They are praying for me, hopefully in church. But they send me off with their blessings that I can go out and raise support for national missionaries. And so just before we get started, I'd like to just share the Great Commission, which you've probably all heard. I'd like to share it out of Matthew 6 or Mark 16 today. If you have your Bibles with, you can follow along. My version has it pretty strong, so please, if... I'm going to share Matthew or Mark chapter 16 and the last 5 verses. So glad to hear the rustling of Bible pages. Some people just pull out iPhones and look at Bible apps on there. But Jesus commanded us before he went back to heaven, final commandment, just like my children. Before I left home, I told them to behave themselves and gave them certain commands. And Jesus also left us with a command before he went back to his Father. He said it was finished when he went to the cross, but he left us with a few things to do. Verse 15, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. The words of Jesus. Verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Sometimes I wonder, actually I know, the Great Commission was not meant to go on forever and ever and ever. When we give somebody a job, there has to be a timeline when this is done. And one missionary was noted for saying that he believed that God had given everything that every generation needed to finish the Great Commission. I wonder why, after 2,000 years of this Great Commission, there's still half a world or more waiting to hear the gospel for the first time. And yet, the name Coca-Cola is very familiar. Many people know about Coca-Cola. Many can't afford to drink the stuff, but they know about it. We are in a time, while we're sitting in church here, there's going to be thousands of people perishing today. Some say every time the clock ticks, every time our heart beats, another soul is slipping into eternity, and sadly, many of them are going to spend eternity in hell. 80,000 to die. Every day, 80,000 plus people die and slip into eternity. I believe that's about 10 times the size of Morden. If Google's right, anyways. 10 Mordens every day slipping into eternity. Right now, there is a event going on in Varanasi, or Varanasi, can't pronounce some of those Indian names, but in the middle of India is a state called Uttar Pradesh, and there's a river called the Ganges River running through this river, which the Hindus believe has the power to cleanse them from their sins, free them from their sins. Right now, there's an event taking place there called the Kumbh Mela, which is an event that takes place often, and yet it has some highlights, some years. And it has the really big events every 12 years, and the biggest event is every 144 years. Right now is 144 years. Starting in February, I forget what date it was, a couple weeks ago, till March 10th, Hindus will come from all over Asia. They will come down to this Ganges River to be freed from their sins. They are expecting 100 million Hindus to come down to this river. They have hired 50,000 police to watch this, make sure everything runs smoothly and doesn't get upset. These people, why they're doing this, India, with over a billion people, claims to have 80% Hindus and almost 20% Muslim. These people follow their priest, their gods, and this is what their gods require of them. These people don't know any better. These people have never heard the name Jesus. Who's Jesus? We have, actually, January 15th. January 15th is Kumbh Mela started. The expectation for the biggest attendance is next Sunday, February 10th. February 10th, they're expecting 35 million people at this event. And if some of you are curious in knowing this more about this, you can go to BBC News, South Asia, and you will find out what is the masses of this event. Yet this is not why I serve with Gospel for Asia, that these people are perishing. The reason I'm serving with Gospel for Asia is because we, each and every one of us here, are considered the body of Christ, with Jesus being our head. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I want to live out my faith in a tangible way. I want to love people. I want to love these Hindus like Christ loved them. He died on the cross for each and every one of these. A Gospel for Asia's focus is in the 1040 window, which many of you know already, because many of you do support individually and as a church. And for that, I want to say thank you from our missionaries, from our staff in Stony Creek. Thank you for your prayers and your financial support. You are a vital part of reaching these lost with the gospel. What we consider the poor people in this country would be really rich in Asia. And so we sometimes take these things for granted, like what does this little bit of money do? And yet it does an amazing amount in Asia. Gospel for Asia serves in countries that have been closed to the foreign missionaries since World War II. There was many Western missionaries in many of these states before World War II, but after World War II, many of these countries deported missionaries. With these missionaries being deported, the funds did too. The funds came home too. What I learned in Revolution World Missions, I think it was, when I learned that less than 2% of mission money ends up going to the most unreached part of the world, the most unreached people with the gospel, it broke me to think that most of our mission money doesn't go to support this work amongst the unreached. So Gospel for Asia's focus is to have missionaries in countries, states that are closed, or have anti-conversion laws, are closed to foreign missionaries. Many of our missionaries are breaking the law every day as they share the gospel, because it's a crime. They can be imprisoned for sharing the gospel in these states. It's a crime to convert. Many of our missionaries are being falsely accused for forcefully converting people to Christianity. So just like in Jesus' day, people falsely accusing our Christ, that is also taking place now with our missionaries. As I shared in Sunday school this morning, these missionaries have a one-way ticket. They are in Bible colleges to learn so that they can share the gospel effectively. Many of these missionaries have been ostracized by their families and their communities. I met one of those when I was in India in 2009. This girl was an only girl in her family and was treated like the queen until she met one of our missionaries, and he gave her a Bible. And she thought, well, I'm never going to read that, but one day, as she was sitting waiting for the bus, she read this Bible, and John, I believe it was, and the Spirit of God started convicting her and drawing her. She ended up getting in touch with that pastor, wanting to know more, ended up giving her life to the Lord, and received some of the worst treatment she'd ever experienced. How many of us here are expecting to be beaten for our faith? But she knew that her family needs the gospel. She is currently, or when I met her, she was in Kerala, southern tip of India, and in one of our training centers, and as she is growing in her knowledge of the Lord, her desire is to go back to her own people, because she knows that her people will perish without the gospel. I just want to show you a short video here. I think a video is worth 1,000 words or more, probably more. Forgotten islands of West Bengal. India has a whole bunch of islands off to the one side, or actually kind of around it, and many of these islands are unreached with the gospel, so it's a short video, about 5 minutes. Let's watch this, and then I'll continue.
Shimmering water, steamy jungles, and rustic huts. An amazing hidden paradise, at least at first glance. These are the forgotten islands of West Bengal. Although they look like an exotic vacation spot, there's no luxury here. The villagers will never go to a mall, taste an ice cube, or drive a car. Instead, they'll fish, bathe, and wash dishes in the same stagnant ponds. Even worse, they'll drink from them. There are no schools or medical clinics, and the people have never been taught how to keep clean. So there's a lot of sickness and death. Turning to unhearing deities to console their grief, life seems hopeless. But a team of 18 Gospel for Asia missionaries is changing all that. Traveling on boats from island to island, these men are bringing the light of Christ into the darkness of these hidden waterways. Taj, the leader of the team, is determined to take this message of hope despite facing persecution and death threats.
it is not we who have been doing ministry, but it is God who have been doing ministry through us.
The islanders have formed a close-knit society, and foreigners aren't easily accepted. But through the missionaries, God has begun to lower social barriers. As a result, Taj and the others have developed personal relationships with hundreds of villagers, allowing them to share the gospel openly.
When our Benjamin brother holded her leg and when he began to offer the prayer, she was completely moved. Because in this tradition, Bengali culture, they think that it's a low caste people. And then she told, you know, you are my son, you are like my son. And then Benjamin replied, you are like my mother. You never worry about anything. Jesus will heal you.
Her family members only, firstly, they came to believe in Jesus. Now she's around 100 years old. We began to pray, and then God opened the door for this Bridge of Hope Center.
Then I began to pray, Lord, we start at least 20 Bridge of Hope Center in this island. This coming generation should be the generation of Lord Jesus Christ. I began to pray that they may have enough resources of water.
God has answered the prayers for clean water. Instead of drawing water from stagnant ponds, fresh water now flows through Jesus wells. These island inhabitants have seen the true love that the missionaries have for them and are eager to learn more about Jesus. In less than 2 years, 44 islands have been reached and 66 thriving Christian fellowships have been planted. In fact, on one small island, every single villager has decided to follow Christ. The Lord is working through these missionaries in miraculous ways. Everywhere these brothers go, people are saved. Even the boat drivers. Yet there are still many islands where the name of Jesus has never been uttered. These people are hungry to hear about the Savior, and they need someone to tell them. As Taj and his team rejoice in what God has done so far, he and his team pray that more missionaries will hear the call to go to these hidden people.
It encourages me every time I see this video. I've seen it many times before and seen some of these brothers first, not these ones, I guess, but like them. Saw many of them when I was in Asia in 2009. And just to see the determination on Taj, he's like, reminds me of Paul in the book of Acts. But God is moving mightily, and just like we read in Mark there, God is still healing a lot of people in Asia. We do have some that obviously aren't being healed. God is seeing it fit to call them home. But this past week we had a little boy that had cancer and was supposed to have surgery, and the doctor couldn't find any cancer in him. So just healed. He got miraculously healed. And so this is happening over and over in different areas, and God's word is true. You know, so many times we, you know, like myself, I've seen this book as, you know, never see myself as believed it, that God gives us power. And even as far as casting out demons, a lot of demon-possessed people in Asia, and when our missionaries come and they pray over them, the demons have to leave. And so exciting to see that people are being rescued and freed from that. Many of you know this already, but God has raised up these national missionaries. These guys know the language and they know the culture. They live in these countries, they don't need visas, they look alike, and they can move freely amongst your own people and not stand out and be distinguished. They know the language and the culture. They're willing to sacrifice their lives to take the gospel to the unreached villages. Many of them have died, or they've all died to self already. They know that those that want to follow Christ have to take up the cross and follow Him. God is using these missionaries in a very effective way. We're seeing an average of 14 fellowships plus established every single day. I think last year we saw over 500,000 people come to the Lord in Asia. Over 500,000 people in one year. They're very cost effective, as you saw in this morning in a boot camp video. We can sponsor about 15 to 20 of these missionaries in comparison to one missionary from here. So about 15 to 20 nationals for equivalent of one Western missionary to go. However, if God does call any of you here today to go to India, to these forgotten islands, please don't do second best or whatever. Support a missionary if God is calling you to go. So God has called some people to move to other lands and countries to share the gospel, and some He's called to support, to keep doing what they're doing and keep praying and keep sending funds to support these brothers and sisters. This might surprise you a little bit, but North Americans spend $2.5 billion every year on short-term missions, sending young people and sending people for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or a month to some of these places. They spend $2.5 billion every year, while national missionaries receive $250 million. I think it's great. I don't know if I'd have this heart and passion if I had never been to India. I think it was very beneficial that I went in 2009. But it has to, when we see these things and experience these things, it has to change us. We have to want to put into gear what we know. Like I said before, these missionaries are expecting persecution. It says in 2 Timothy 3:12, and it says, "All that live godly shall suffer persecution." That's a promise, that not a suggestion, but our missionaries are being, wherever the persecution is the greatest in Asia right now, the church is growing the fastest. So they've had to count the cost before they gave their life to the Lord. Many of them, as they graduate, the leader will encourage them, and many times this is symbolic, but sometimes it actually happens, but they're encouraged to dig a grave at the edge of the village, symbolizing that they're willing to reach that village with the gospel or die trying. This last summer in July, some of you might have seen our video or a request to pray for our brother Ponich and George. It was in July. We sent this video out. This brother was kidnapped in July. He's responsible for a couple hundred missionaries, and he got kidnapped by some terrorists, and they were demanding a ransom on him. And he said, "You're not going to get any ransom at a gospel for Asia. They don't pay ransom." But the church in the West here was encouraged to pray, and where typically these terrorists kill these brothers in 3 days or less than 3 days, a week later he was released unharmed. Ponich and George was one of my leaders when I went in 2009 into Kolkata, West Bengal region. I rode the train together with this brother. He looked after me for, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 days, where I spent lots of time with this brother, and when I heard the news that he'd been kidnapped, then it wasn't just another Indian, it was somebody I'd spent time with and somebody that I'd seen with a servant heart, somebody that was extremely humble and just serving the Lord with everything that was in him. I often think of, as we would suffer with our family, most of us, you know, I think of when I hear of people in Manitoba getting sick and how they pray for each other, and some are even fasting for family. So these people do with their people. They are, they know that hell awaits for these people that don't receive Christ. Now the Holy Spirit is moving freely in Asia right now, and I'm just touched by every, as working in the head office, we hear constantly what God is doing in Asia through these national missionaries, and what we get to be part of. And I just trust and pray that kind of revival will take place in North America, where people will desire to come together and worship the Lord. Many times it feels like, well, I guess according to stats, the Christian percentage is going down in North America. And in Asia, it's growing. And I really hope that the church in the West will be encouraged to pray like the church in Asia is praying for a revival to take place. Just like to share a few things I'd like to challenge you with, and then I'd like to show you another short video. But one thing that we should do, and we have in our home but don't look at the map nearly often enough, but I would encourage each and every one of us here to take prayer seriously. Many times I've heard that I guess all we can do is pray in a defeated tone, and yet it's when people pray believing that God is moving and drawing people to himself. Purpose in your heart to wake up earlier in the morning to spend time with the Lord in his word and in prayer. And pray what God's purpose is for you. If his purpose is to have you serve in a greater way here, or if his purpose is for you to support national missionaries or what he's asking you to do. Gospel for Asia was founded on prayer just over 30 years ago, when one old grandmother, KP's mother, I guess she wasn't a grandmother then yet, but prayed for 3.5 years fasting every Friday that one of her sons would become a missionary. Today there's over 2 million people born again under the Gospel for Asia umbrella. The Lord has drawn that many people to himself, but it was through the prayers of this one mother praying for one of her sons. So see the power of prayer. When you hear news like Christians being killed in Nigeria or in Israel, burned and tortured, that should drive us to prayer. It's only God's grace that we aren't experiencing that over here. So get a world map and pray for these different countries as you hear the news, and start believing that God will, that he did come to save these people. Second challenge I'd like to leave with us is to take inventory of our lives in the light of eternity and live simpler lifestyles to be able to better support God's work. Just like we read the commandment here that we were to go out and preach the gospel, there's also another commandment found in Matthew 6:19-21, where Jesus says, "Lay not up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupts, but lay up treasures in heaven." And what really struck me is verse 21, for it says, "Where your heart is, there your treasure is also." You know, wherever we put our treasure, our heart will follow. If we put our treasure in materialism or in a lot of things, and I'm one to talk because I had I wanted everything under the sun at one time. But God has freed me from that a long ways. I have no desire, even though I drove a nice vehicle here from the airport, I don't have any desire to go and buy a new vehicle anymore. I just need something that'll get me from point A to point B. But to truly examine our hearts and to see what we're living for, to see if we're living, truly living with the lost in mind, and to think of the people that are perishing, and if we're trying to build a kingdom on earth. John 4:35, Jesus says, "Lift up your eyes and see the harvest." And to lift up our eyes, I think, means to get our focus off of ourselves and to see a world that is perishing, to see the harvest, the fields that are ripe. This present life and multitudes are perishing without Jesus, and seeing ourselves standing deliberately in the gap. I've often been challenged by Amy Carmichael. His testimony in KP shares it in Living in the Light of Eternity, but where Amy Carmichael, early a missionary in India, had this dream one night that she was sitting under a tree knitting daisy chains. And there was a great gulf, like some of you might have been to Niagara Falls, but you know where the water comes over the edge. But she visioned this gulf, and people were moving moving towards it by the thousands, by the millions. And they were going into eternity. And they were blind. They couldn't see that. And there were sentries posted way too far apart. And they couldn't warn these people. And if we want to think of how far apart, I think of 80,000 people or 100,000 people and one Christian. Like, there's areas where there's next to no Christians, next to nobody to warn these people. And as these people were going over the edge, they were screaming. And she wanted to get up and go stand in the gap. But the people in the church kept pulling her back and kept pulling her back and saying, "You need to help us with this daisy chain. I trust that's not the situation here where if you feel the call of God that your church will send you, go and share the gospel." But she goes on to say that they were knitting this daisy chain, and she said, as people were perishing, and she said, and then they sang a hymn. And then she says, "Lord, forgive us for our callousness, our hardness, and our coldness." If God isn't calling you to go to Asia, consider not just sponsoring one or two, but you know, as the Lord gives you favor, as He gives you grace, as He leads you. By supporting a national, thousands of people will hear the gospel every year, and many will surrender their lives completely to the Lord. And I just kind of broke it off, thinking of how much it costs to support a missionary every year, and how many people come to the Lord. And I just thought, if it cost $1 a person to have every person reached with the gospel, how many people would we want to reach with the gospel? What is a soul worth to me and to you? Oscar Schindler, I think it was back in World War II, or World War I, I should know for sure, but started buying Jews for the wrong reason. And they were going to the gas chambers, and he started buying these Jews for his factory. But by the time life was over, he had one regret. As he was buying these people and getting them to serve in his factory there, he started getting bonding to them and getting close to them. And by the time the war was over, he was wondering why he hadn't sacrificed more so he could have bought more. He could have spared more of these Jews from the gas chamber. I think at the end of life, when we stand before God, I'm going to seriously look at my life and see if I did everything, if I was fully surrendered to the Lord, if I did everything that He'd asked me to do. You have in your bulletin, you have these cards, and they are sponsorship cards for missionaries. Many of you do sponsor already, but if you want to just pull out this card, if you feel the Lord today, and not out of guilt or anything, but if you feel the Lord today speaking to your heart that you would like to reach these people in Asia and see and sponsor missionaries like you've seen today, then just fill out this card. It says in the top here how many missionaries you can sponsor, and for $30 a month you can help sponsor. It takes a few sponsors to fully support one missionary. You fill in your name and address in the front, and on the back you can choose to pay either with a void check for automatic checking withdrawal, or you can send in a check every month, or you can fill in the credit card information and start sponsoring these missionaries today. If you feel that you want to pray about it, I would challenge you to seek the Lord and what his will is again, just to to show you how many or what He wants you to do, how many missionaries He would like you to sponsor, or if He wants you to go. Just like to share out of 2 Peter 3:8-12 yet in closing here, and then I'll show a short PowerPoint yet. 2 Peter 3:8-12. It says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, nor illing for illing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Thank you for coming this morning to know what is going on in Asia, and to just for partnering with us over the years. You've been supporters of Gospel for Asia for years, many of you. Also, just like to encourage, I see there's more young people here than there was in Sunday school this morning. Do consider anyone that's between 18 and 27, if you're single, do consider a school of discipleship program. We have just started our second class 2 weeks ago, and we've run this program in the U.S. for 8 years already, but it's a challenge to the young people to come and spend a year with us in our Stony Creek head office, and you will experience a two-week vision tour, just like you saw some of these brothers and sisters. And you'll be doing about a third of your time in class studies, and the other two-thirds will be serving in our Canadian head office in Stony Creek, Ontario. The people that have gone through this course are really excited in how God has shown them His will. And some have stayed with ministry, some have gone to different ministries, some are going into the sector workforce just to live out. But many times young people commit to marrying someone and not knowing a whole lot and spending a lifetime with them. Consider spending 1 year of your life seeking the Lord with Gospel for Asia and School of Discipleship. To learn more, you can pick up our brochure in the back, or you can visit our website, or you can talk to me after the service.